What's up, guys? I am Caleb Giddings,
And I'm Keith Finch.
and you are watching the first Gunday Brunch of the year of our Lord 2026. Thank you, everyone, for staying with us through tumultuous 2025 and for coming back this year in 2026. And we are back, and I would say that we're better than ever, but let's be real, we're older and our knees hurt more.
Yeah, this is facts. I can tell the weather with joints now, and that is not the superpower buff I wanted at this level of my existence, but it's the one I got.
I would like to start today's episode off, Keith, with a grievance. Not a grievance towards you, or really anybody in particular, but there is nothing worse than the first Teams, Zoom, group conference call after a major holiday. Oh, how was everyone's Thanksgiving? How was everyone's Christmas? Shut the fuck. How was your New Year? I don't fucking care. We're on this call to talk about marketing stuff. If I wanted to ask you how your year was, or if I wanted to tell you how my New Year was, I would send you a text. You would get a note from me that says, "Hey man, on New Year's Eve, we
I
got
would ask
blackout
you,
drunk."
right? I would ask you how it was. And
Oh,
yes,
the perfect.
especially with the folks who love to talk about it the most, because they'll burn up an extra 20, 30, 45 minutes in the meeting just talking about it. And look, I have the ADHD and the TISM that has resulted in the fact that both of us are in the gun industry. I can get distracted easily enough. I don't need how your turkey was added to this meeting. I have 1,000 other things to do, especially after a holiday break, because your inbox is full of bogus stuff that all of a sudden is a super high priority. So
Once again, we work in marketing. Nothing is an emergency.
I
Nothing that
am
we
nothing I do is saving lives.
No. The worst one, though, and this actually happened to me hypothetically, it on a on
In
a work
Minecraft.
call in Minecraft. For the company that I work for that also sponsors this podcast, Taurus USA, and also sponsored by Bleecker Street Media
Bleecker Street
Productions.
Publications. We do
Publications.
have media.
You do have media. You guys have media. And you can watch this on
That
openairmedia.com.
is it. You got it. You got it.
Yay!
I
I
love our ad reads.
remember. Frick, dude, it's been a week. But anyway, the worst one was everybody joined the call a couple of minutes early, and so we got all of the like happy, how is your blah 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 out of the way. And then one person joins the call 2 minutes later, like right when it's scheduled to start, and he asks that same question, and I lost my mind. I was like, we already fucking did that. Can we get to the point of the meeting? Which interestingly, the point of the meeting was one of the things that we are going to talk about today, because today, if you're watching this on Open Air Media, it's Sunday the 10th, I think is the whatever Sunday is. Anyway,
That seems to math. The
hang
math,
on, wait. Today's
it's
today
tenth-ish.
we're recording this on Wednesday the 7th. You won't see it until after the thing that I have in my lap
Eleven.
launches the 11th. Great. So you'll see this on either Sunday the 11th, or if you're listening to the audio only version, you'll be hearing it on tomorrow, Thursday the 8th, which is the launch date of the all new Taurus TX9 semi-automatic pistol. This gun is cool. I'm going to talk to you guys a little bit about this before we get on to the topic of the show today, which is point shooting. Speaking of this and point shooting, I put really nice Dawson Precision fiber optic sights on this thing because you know what makes it easier to hit stuff when you're shooting a gun? Good sights. The
Hey,
TX.
Caleb, is that a plate for an optic that makes it
Why?
easier to hit stuff when you aim?
Why, yes, it is. The Taurus TX9 comes from the factory with, we like to use a little term of art, industry standard dovetails, which is a code word for Glock dovetails. So you can, there's loads of aftermarket sights out there. It comes with steel sights anyway, so they're better than Glock sights, but they are because they're made out of metal. So it does come with, the state, those sights.
The worst kept, best kept secret of the industry is Glock inventing a sight to specifically be taken off the gun once it gets here in the States, and then people
Right.
not doing that.
Oh, I know.
They're
That's
like,
it.
these sights cost a nickel. Get rid of them.
Yeah, they're the worst. They're literally the worst, and they're hard to aim with too. But regardless, So the new TX9, guys, we'll talk about it for a little bit. It is available in three sizes: full size, compact, and subcompact. To translate that and give you a sense of what that means, the sizes run very similar to Glock 19, Glock 17, and Glock 26. Weird, right?
Shocking.
The full size holds 17 rounds, the compact holds 15 rounds, and the subcompact holds 13 rounds. All of them are optics ready from the factory. They use the same, and this was a Smarty McSmarterton thing that we did. They use the same Toro system, Taurus Optics Ready option as the G3. So all of the existing plates for the G3 go straight onto this. And the G3 system, for people who don't know, it doesn't mount the optic to the plate. The optic mounts directly to the side. The plate is only an adapter so that the lugs and the holes line up in the correct space, in the correct plates. And then the optic itself direct threads into the slide, which is pretty awesome, actually. All optics should direct thread into the slide. I don't understand when companies don't do that. Let's see what else is cool about it. It's fully striker fired, so the market was very much likes the trigger on the GX4, which is just a full striker fired gun. So we have done away with the reverse SADA of the G3 series on the TX9. The frame, the lower portion of the gun is almost exactly the same as the TX22. This is a member of the TX family. So the lower receiver portion, it's not the receiver, but you know what I mean. The lower part of the gun, the grip module. Worth a grip zone. Grip zone.
No,
So
don't do that. Springfield
the
may get angry.
grip module is the same as the TX22, but it has the addition of the interchangeable back straps. You get four with the gun. You get super thick, less thick, mini thick,
Two.
and then no thick. So basically, it goes from Scandinavian woman to Venezuelan woman.
There you go. There you go.
Please
How
don't
many
clip.
C's?
What is wrong with me? Oh
Well,
man.
the next thing you'd be like, all right, this is the BBL grip.
I mean, that's the one I have on here. I have the
Yeah,
thickest
you've got the
back strap
BBL
on
grip
here.
on.
But anyway, striker fire trigger, they're all, from the factory, 4.5-ish pounds, which is what you want a duty gun to be, which the last thing that I'll say about this gun, that's what this gun was designed to be. So the design intent behind it was really to build a gun to compete for international military and law enforcement contracts. That's what the MIL-LE sales team in Brazil is targeting this gun for. Here in the States, it's obviously, it's a consumer product. It is MSRP is friggin' unbelievable. It's only $500. So it is, yeah, $500 MSRP, which means you're gonna see it in dealers like 400 probably. I mean,
Yeah,
hard to tell, but
usually with the markups and margins, you'll see it in the four range, which means you're going to have three sizes of duty grade Taurus TX9s with that
oh,
super comfy grip
and it's got
for
a
just over four bills.
chassis modular chassis system, which everybody likes because
Yay!
chassis are cool. So if you want, and we will be selling not initially at launch, but we're gonna have grip modules available on shoptourist.com for people to buy if they want. If they're like, I got the full size, but I want a subcompact grip module, or you just buy another gun because they're not going to be that expensive.
Yeah, because it's going to be 400 and change,
Yeah.
guys.
The other fun thing that we have done with this gun, so I have been really involved in the testing process. I have either personally or supervised the firing of over 5,000 rounds through different models of this gun, including one that's sitting on my workbench right now. That do you remember the video from like almost 20 years ago where Todd Jarrett shot 1,000 rounds through a para in like 10 minutes? So we did that with this gun, one of my guns. We did it faster than Todd, and we did more rounds. So the gun's pretty freaking cool. No shade to
God, that
Todd,
thing must
mind
have been
you, but
hot.
oh, dude, we had to dunk it in water a couple of times because our shooter, Matt Little, he couldn't hold on to it anymore. He's like, I can't hold this gun because of the heat that is bleeding through it. And I was like, dunk it in the water. And then I shot a group with it, which was dicey because the front sight was flawed. Oh yeah, here was the part that slightly failed on the gun when we fired 1,000 rounds over the course of 10 minutes and 20 seconds. was the fiber optic in the Dawson front sight melted, and the front sight started to unthread itself, but it didn't actually come off the gun. It was just kind of like it was holding on for dear life down there. Because it got hot enough to melt the blue Loctite out of it, basically. So, I think that's pretty rad. I thought it was pretty cool being there to do that. There's a video of us doing that that comes out. Oh, by the time you're watching this, it'll be out. You can go see it on, you can go watch it on the Taurus USA YouTube channel. So, yeah. Well, if you're watching this on Open Air Media, you can watch it. If you're listening to it on the audio stream, it's not out yet because time is a flat circle and it's not real.
It is a flat circle. Speaking of flat circles and circular circles, I did the math on shooting the moon today for
I
some
saw
reason.
that. I saw that. Yeah. Oh.
I don't know why it came up, but if anybody is curious how hard it is to hit the moon, one, actually look at NASA. We've done it. We've hit the moon, realistically. But if you were wanting to scale that to Earth-sized items, shooting at the moon with a rifle would be like shooting at a target that is a yard wide, so 36-inch target at 110.6 yards. And you're like, oh, that's really easy. Yes, additional complications. You would also be laying prone on a merry-go-round that is spinning at a rate of once every 24 hours. And you go, oh, that's not very fast, still easy. Okay, yes. But the muzzle velocity of your rifle would have to be 10 and a half times the speed of light to have an equivalent shot of a rifle that was shooting roughly 900 meters a second or 2,700 feet a second out the
So,
muzzle at an actual 110 yard target.
which w then the projectile would be going so fast it would destroy the moon, I can only assume. Like 10
Oh
and a
yeah,
half times the
the
speed
amount
of
of energy
light.
that would deliver to the moon would be
That's nuts. 10 and a
so
half times.
nuts. But that would be the equivalent velocity of firing a rifle at a 110 yard target, speeding it up. If you want to scale the velocity down, then that bullet not going fast at the end of the gun.
Yeah,
It's creeping out like a snail. I have not done that. I have not completed that part of the math yet, but it would be creeping out the end of the gun like a snail, and you'd sit there spinning on the merry-go-round once every 24 hours, watching your bullet slowly get further and further and further, almost like a spacecraft going to the moon.
things Keith has done today instead of his job.
Oh, this was in addition to all the other things I was
Yeah,
doing at my job. This was my
indeed.
ADHD side quest to ground, like this is my touch grass side quest.
Right. You're like, I have to go. Sometimes you're like, I have to either go outside or I have to do something that isn't this, or I'm going to go insane. And you can
That was
also.
my wonderful side quest to not go insane. So, for the record, guys, because nobody needed to know this, the moon is roughly a 32, 33 minute of angle target. It's a big target. However, we cannot get there at an equivalent velocity to make that shot very, very easy because that would be 10 and a half times the speed of
Yeah, and I
light.
don't think anything's yeah, 10.5 times the
We
speed of light.
turns out
That's
we haven't been able to do that yet.
right. Well, that's one of those like and I love the whole physics debate where it's like, is it even possible to actually go faster than the speed of light? Will we ever discover faster than light travel? Who knows? I'm not that smart, but you know who I am smarter than? People who think point shooting is relevant in 2026.
Jesus Christ.
So
God bless our mutual friend Larry Correa for leading this crusade of
again,
holy righteousness against the internet.
but so if you guys don't know who Larry is, Larry's the author of all of your favorite novels, and he on his Facebook page has been just popping off about point shooting and point shooting advocates, because apparently, despite the fact that we have readily available electronic red dot sights that completely obviate any need or necessity for point shooting the gun, people still think that it's somehow faster and or better than using your sights, and it's not. It's not. If you go back on the old Gat Daily YouTube channel, I have a video from a few years back where I do point shoot. I do all of the point shooting techniques, and I do them on the range. I do the Fairbairn Sykes locked arm, use your elbow as a sighting index kind of deal. I do the FBI crouch. I do the dumbass combat focus shooting tactical turtle, and I shoot the gun using the sights. I just regular ass iron sights, and in every single evolution, I am faster and more accurate using the iron sights.
It
But
is it is point shooting seems to be this thing that like started out as a way to describe getting a very fast sight picture at close distance, and then it just morphed into this mythical concept that, oh, I don't have to aim guns if I do fast and I'm inside this mythically close distance where I can hit things. And it turns out whenever you actually put this to the test on a timer, on camera, and trying to grab data on it, no, you can't do, people can't do this. You need these working with these in order to hit that. Like,
well, and the other thing too is people really the other problem with talking like you know that meme that's gone around where it's like leftist discourse is just not understand is intentionally not pretending to not understand things, thus making discourse impossible. Point shooting advocates are those people, all right? Trying to talk to them, it's like they intentionally don't are not understanding what you're saying because the there's no one there's no well hang on let me let's ask the internet let me ask the internet. I'm just gonna Google like the first Google result for point shooting. Oh, there's a Wikipedia page for this. All right, point shooting, also known as target or threat focused shooting, intuitive shooting, instinctive shooting, subconscious tactical shooting, or hip firing, is a practical shooting method where the shooter points a ranged weapon, typically a repeating firearm, at a target without relying on the use of the sights to aim. So unsighted fire. That's key. All right. And the reason why they're half of the time, some of these people are like, oh, yeah, we're just like hip aiming, or, I just kind of point the gun and I don't use the sights. Here's the thing. I can aim this gun without using the sights. All right. In the last friggin' 20 years that of practical shooting development, we've figured out a lot of shit about shooting, right? Like, we use a, if I'm shooting with a iron sighted gun, like the all new Taurus TX9, and I'm at, and I'm shooting at like a 2, 3 yard target, right? Shooting fast, then I'm gonna be entirely target focused, and I'm just gonna put the gun in between my face and the target, right? Like, and I'm just gonna have that back of that slide plate is my index, and that's how I'm aiming the gun to shoot two alphas at 2 yards. But then because my eyes work, what I'm going to do is, oh, I got to transition to this 15-yard target. My eyes are going to go to the 15-yard target, and then I'm going to use the sights to aim the gun. And depending on the complexity of the target, I may be somewhat target focused or not target focused or this, that, and the other thing. And that's with iron sights. These people in, I'm crashing out. These people in Larry's comments are talking about point shooting with a dot. With a dot. Just put the red dot on the fucking thing that you want to put the bullet in and press the trigger. It's not hard.
As soon as you see the shiny red ball, you're good.
I managed in the span of 20 minutes to teach my 6-year-old child how to aim a gun with a red dot. I was like, hey, put the dot where on the thing that we're trying to shoot at and then press the trigger. Okay, Dad, pow, hit. It's.
We've literally spent, especially the last 10 years, but the last 20 and longer than that, we can go back to the first time a red dot got mounted to a pistol. We were trying to take alignment issues out of the equation and make this a faster equation. We're still aiming, we're still using a sight because it works better all the time. Unless you are, as the saying goes, at bad breath distance, whereas almost contact distance, where I am not using the sights to aim because I can physically touch the target with the muzzle of the gun, and therefore I can just hammer the trigger.
Right. And you want to talk about that, that unsighted fire. There's a whole class. You guys want to learn how to do unsighted fire at bad breath distance? There's a whole class you could take. It's called ECQC, and it's basically how we jump people into the cool kids gang. All right. You go take an ECQC, and then we're all cool. And then everyone's like, you know what? The only people who take ECQCs are usually people who are at least give a shit about being switched on. So, oh my God. I just.
But yeah, this whole, oh, you can just point shoot at 7 yards. No, use your sights. You have 7 yards of distance. You can
Yeah.
put the gun between you and your face.
Like, well, here's the other thing. And this is something that I covered in that old video on the GAT channel, is if you exclusively practice aiming the gun, getting a fast sight picture, and getting good hits, you know what you then become really, really good at? Point shooting. Like, I can throw, without using the sights on my gun, just based on my index alone, I could index the gun on a 7-yard target and throw two pretty good alphas on it, right? But you know how I got good at doing that? I practiced aiming the gun with the sights because I had to learn where to position that gun in front of my face with the sights so that I could get that good index. And if you don't have a good index, and this is the thing about fucking point shooting is, and these people is they don't build, they have no concept of how to build a good index, right? They're just blazing away from the hip or tactical turtling it or whatever. And I'm like, ah, like, yes. And then they'll inevitably say, like, something like they'll bring up like Taren's videos of him hip shooting, steel plates at 7 yards, right? First off, those are big ass plates. Secondly, Taren is a professional trick shooter. Do you know how often he practiced doing that so he could get it? Taren has built a reliable hip firing index, right? That's how he's able to do it, right? It's not like he's out there, he could literally go stand out there. He can walk out the back into his base, that's his backyard, and fucking practice on those plates. So, no, that is not a reliable
But
indicator of point shooting
here's the
performance.
thing that the point shooters completely disregard. You change anything significant about Terran's setup, and all of a sudden he has to practice it over and over and over again to get the trick shot. Because the target at a different distance, the target at a higher or lower angle, or anything like that. We change any significant port. He's not indexing a target, assessing a distance, and being like, yeah, he's in a spot in a scripted event. He's in a spot in a scripted event. He has a point, he has a mark, and the target is at another specific mark. That's why that works as well as it does. And you can't predict that in your freaking theoretical gunfight inside gas station, titty bar, whatever. Like that is not in any, you are in a singular scripted event, as scripted an event as like an El Presidente drill or something like that. Not variables of a gunfight. Not variables of fighting anybody, gun or not.
You know what I can say? And I can say this with absolute conviction from 20 years of competition shooting, is I can think of quite a few times in a match where I have thought to myself, man, I should have looked at my sights more for that shot, because I am trying to, push my speed, and so I use less of a sight picture than, so I don't refine my sight picture, something like that. And I go, ooh, you know what? If I'd been looking at my sights, I probably wouldn't have shot that D, So yeah, there's like, and again, I'm just sort
The
of
trade-off
flabbergasted.
value for not using your sights is extremely steep.
Yeah,
Like,
and like,
extremely steep.
if there's a reason why, sure, and in a match, there's no negative consequences if I fucking, other than me not performing as well as I would like, if I fucking burn a delta or something like that, right?
Yeah,
If you are in an actual,
there's no I am going to prison consequence or I die consequence.
if you're in an actual lethal force encounter and you miss, and that bullet hits something that it shouldn't have hit, you might go to prison for a really long time. You might have crippling financial consequences. What else? What other? I mean, or let's say you're in a lethal force encounter and that bullet hits like a very crappy hit. That guy might stay in the fight and kill you. So, there's a reason why, like, there's LAPD Metro Division has one of the highest hit rates in law enforcement, in all of law enforcement, right? It's something like 85, 90%. Okay. And that's a 90% hit rate on the sort of people that LA Metro Division is going after is impressive, because those guys tend to run and shoot back, right? So LA Metro teaches you to use the sights, and they teach you to aim the gun, and they teach a really high degree of accountability. I don't know if it currently is, but there was an old SWAT with their old SWAT qual was pass fail, like, and fail was you're done, you're
You're
out of the
done.
program, you're
You
not
are
going to be a
not. You are not on the team. Better luck next time.
back to the streets, buddy. So, and they did it like, so I don't know, like, I just, again, We have optics now. I have guns in my closet with two MOA dots that I can shoot out to 100 yards
That may be the
easily.
most puzzling thing about this. Why are we holding on to it?
Right.
In the most obvious of senses, we don't need this anymore.
Yeah. Like, I could almost understand the arguments for point shooting. Like, okay, look, threat-focused shooting. I totally get that, right? Also, I can do threat-focused shooting and still use the sights on and still use my iron
Yes,
sights,
you can
for
still
the
put those
record.
bumpy things between you and the thing you need to shoot really
Yeah,
quick.
I can actually be entirely target focused and still reference the sights. Are they blurry? Yeah, but I know where they are and I'm gonna get better hits with that. So there's that. I don't need to, like, the only time I really need to, like, hard stare at my front sight is if I'm going for extreme precision, like Bianchi Cup levels of precision. But, like, okay, we fixed, I remember arguing with fucking Rob Pincus about this years ago, before optics were common. And his argument for his combat focused missing technique was you need to have your eyes on the threat versus your eyes on the front sight. And I'm like, LAPD would disagree with you, but whatever, Rob. And, like, there is a measure of sense to that, right? Guns are the only, or the, they are the first weapon that humanity has ever invented that requires us to not look at the thing we're trying to kill, right? Like a bow and arrow, you look at the target. A sword, you look at the target. Like this, that, and the other thing. So I understand that. However, we got optics now, so now you can just look at the target the whole time. We have optics, little teeny tiny optics that go on little teeny tiny carry guns. We got big optics for big duty guns. There's no friggin' reason for this point shooting bullshit in 2026, because even fuck, it's not like optics are particularly expensive anymore either. Even, like, cheap chinesium optics are fucking $200 and they work pretty okay. So, like,
We
I
have
don't.
a like I remember getting into the dot game back in like 2007, 2008. I got a dot and I got a dot for a rifle. This was before dots had been hardened for pistol recoil. So you needed a fixed platform that wasn't throwing around the dot. Otherwise, especially in the Chinese optics, the electronics would just fall apart because they weren't meant to go back and forth that fast. They weren't recoil proofed. Nowadays, that is not a problem. Everybody who is building an optic for the United States market to actually try and compete for space legitimately on the United States market is building a good sight because you don't survive if you don't. Like, you don't. You immediately burn it down. And even if you don't get it right at first and later fix it, that's no guarantee of success later down the line. But it is, you either build it to work for the consumer base. Or you immediately cannot compete on this market anymore because it will get out there that like, hey, all these things are consistently failing and every version of the sight I get, the control scheme's all fucked up, the electronics don't work, it all falls to shit. Don't buy this. And then if they're like, oops, well, we're airsoft grade. I'm like, I guess enjoy being airsoft grade.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's fine too. Like, but I can't, I will tell you this though. I would be willing to bet my entire Air Force retirement, every last penny of it, that all of the people still advocating for point shooting in, well, not all, but most of the people advocating for point shooting in 2026 are also the sort of people that say, I won't put optics on my guns because batteries fail. And you never,
Yeah,
you can't.
there's probably not a one-to-one Venn diagram there, but that like those are really close circles. Those look like
Yeah.
your eyes are, that looks
Just.
like targets, slightly out of focus and you have a bit of astigmatism going on there.
Yeah, there's. Yeah, those circles absolutely overlap by quite a bit.
Very, very, very strong overlap there.
Which also drives me nuts because the other friggin' thing is, like, yeah, you know what? Batteries do fail. So change your batteries. You're like,
Yeah.
there, I solved that
You
problem.
change them in smoke detectors. You change filters in your freaking HVAC system. Like, this is a very simple and incredibly inexpensive maintenance item that you do to your gun.
Or,
Just like brake pads, just
yeah,
like tires. Just.
shit, they're a lot cheaper than brake pads.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I just, I don't, It hurts my brain, man. It hurts my brain. And I don't understand
My
it. And I don't
I'll get it.
understand.
If you can dig up footage of me, you can dig up footage of Jack and myself talking about optics as they were coming onto the scene. It really gaining popularity years ago. We were skeptical, but we were skeptical for one reason, and that was durability under recoil. It's like, is the fact that the slide going back and forth going to be a problem with these? And initially, in a lot of models, it was. That was an easily and long ago solved problem. There's no reason. Like, the best argument I heard for this was like, look, if iron sights and dots had been developed at the same time frame in modern firearms and sighting, so like say the 1860s, as rifles were starting to get really good, and irons, and you were starting to actually get like adjustable sights on various guns, so you could hit further away. If the red dot had also developed during that time frame, there would be no contest.
Right.
There would be no contest. The red dot would have won.
Yeah. Oh no, absolutely. I just again, and I can't I'm obviously flabbergasted. And the other thing that I'm completely
Gasteds are do be flabbered.
the other thing that I'm completely blown away by is Larry's patience with this. Like I don't
No, I don't know if it's patience. I think he's just genuinely having fun.
Yeah, that's fair.
So
I think
he's
he is
not
having
suffering
fun.
fools. He's having a good time.
Yeah, that's fair. I have definitely not, I have definitely lost my ability to have that level of patience with people. Yeah, like,
I don't have a mountain with a gun range on it yet, so.
yeah, if I was independently, like, if I, you remember a couple of weeks ago, when the Powerball was like $1.4 billion, I absolutely bought a ticket. And if I had won that, then honestly, actually, no. You know what? If I had won that, I would have deleted my social media. I would have disappeared. Like, you would know that I had won the lottery, but there would be signs because I would delete all my social media and I would buy a Ferrari. So, you know. Oh my goodness. And again, who is still
Why?
defending this and why?
Who and why?
But he is absolutely correct about one thing. These guys never show their work, right? It's
No.
like, they're like,
And
oh
the
yeah.
I will caveat, occasionally you'll get one guy who will actually put it on camera, and inevitably that guy comes back a little like more humbled and be like, you know what? You're right. It's kind of hard and I didn't get really good results. But the baffling thing is they still defend the techniques. Like, I still like it. I'm like, congrats on, like, if you just like doing it because it makes you feel good, I guess, okay, but don't argue that it has performative results then. Like,
Yeah, exactly.
I can enjoy eating a Lay's potato chip. That doesn't
Oh,
mean that it is going to cure the flu.
I do enjoy a Lay's potato chip. Like, not often, right? Like the regular
No.
classic, no ridges, no ruffles, just a regular classic Lay's potato chip. Every now and then, that
Every
smacks.
now and then it hits just right. And that's one of the potato chips that are really good on sandwich, because there are on sandwich and off sandwich potato chips. This is our ADHD in full effect, ladies and gentlemen. on sandwich, off sandwich potato chips. The classic Lay's is a good on sandwich
That is
potato
the it's really the best on sandwich potato chip. Now the
chip.
best my current favorite chip is, and I forget, hang on, it's I'm actually going to Google this.
I can tell you mine in the meantime. I have fallen for the Costco brand Boulder Canyon potato chip with the thick ridges. That is a crunchy off sandwich potato chip, and it's phenomenal.
Okay, so there's this company called The Good Crisp Company, and they make a Pringles competitor in the can and everything. And their sour cream and onion in the can is better than Pringles. It can kicks Pringles in the dirt and then bangs their
Well,
girlfriend. It's so good.
I'm gonna have to throw a very controversial opinion here at this point in the podcast. Pringles are mid. They're okay. They're
Oh
but they
man.
are a mid chip.
Oh man, they make cheese balls too. I'm gonna order some cheese balls on
Ooh.
the internet. Large canister, small can. Oh man, this is what I need. Spicy cheese balls? Let's go. That won't hurt my tummy at all. Oh man. Oh, I'm a spicy cheese
This is
ball.
the greatest side tangent. of
Oh,
2026 thus far,
golly
and maybe
Moses.
in podcast history, but definitely
The light from my mom.
spicy cheese balls.
Oh God,
Oh,
I.
yes.
You know, the worst thing about getting old has been is that I can't eat spicy foods the way I used to now. Like it's not good
Oh,
for the old not good for the old tum tum.
the thing I dislike most is having to properly layer the things I want to eat in order not to trigger like indigestion, right?
Yeah.
Like if I want a certain pizza, I must avoid certain drinks, or I must balance it out with certain vegetables earlier in the day, or not eat certain things. I can't just be like, I like that food, I will eat that food next. No. If we stack these Lego bricks wrong, the body will be like, well, you did it wrong.
Yeah, as it turns out, I can't eat like I'm Sterling Archer anymore. Jelly beans and some scotch is not like a full
No.
meal for me these days.
No.
All right, well, we've gone completely off the rails, guys. The Taurus TX9 is available. Go to your local gun dealer and buy you one, or just go to one of the online partners that have these guns and buy it from them because the internet's cool. And if you like this video,
I think
like.
I want that to be our next episode, though. The conundrum of the FFL. Buying guns
Yes.
online. I'd like to get into that. That's a
That
fun
is
topic.
actually a good, that is actually a good one. All right, guys. Thank you everyone for liking, sharing, subscribing. Make sure you kidnap a Guatemalan child and force them to listen to this episode. Actually, no, kidnap a Venezuelan
Venice, they need them.
president.
They need to be imported right now.
The elite, no, kidnap a
Get you a
Venezuelan president.
thick Venezuelan.
No, kidnap the president. Oh wait, we already
Yes.
did that. The
They
elites don't
don't want
want
you
you to
to
know that
notice
South
online,
American
but the
presidents
presidents
are
are free. You
free.
can just take them.
Oh my God. All right, real quick. We got to talk about, I have to jump onto another meeting, but like the fact that we did a special military operation and we're in and out in 3 hours, and we like literally, and then we teabagged the statue of the
We
old
teabagged
communist dick
Chavez's tomb on the
grave,
way
right?
out.
Like just a great big fuck you on the way out. Oh God, I love being an American so much. All right, guys, that's it. We're out. We'll be back next week.